Before we start today's show, we want to let you guys know about our sponsor. Are you tired of the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambrise Tax Consultants are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiroprac. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them take care of all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925. Or you can visit their website at www.cambricetaxconsulting.com. Again, the website is www.cambricetaxconsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters. Cambrise Tax Consulting. Now, to the show. You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us, and we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening, and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. Follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. My brother, Kennedy Miller. How you doing today, dog?
You know how I'm doing today, Alex.
Kennedy, this is a day that the Lord has made. We all should rejoice and be glad in it. So, but where can they find you on Twitter?
I feel they like we'll don't get need into to find me second. On damn Twitter. Let's get to the show. Let's get to
the show. All right. I said M as in margaritas. I probably should have said M as in moving boxes, because that's what M Mike McCarthy's going to need, because the Dallas Cowboys got their teeth kicked out of their ass on Sunday. So what I'm going to do here today is I'm going to bring the therapist couch out for my brother Kennedy Miller, because Black men's mental health is important here on the Game Plan Podcast. So, Ken, I'm going to be a safe space for you. Is that OK? Can I do that for you?
Yes, it is.
All right, Ken. So, again, the rules of therapy, you can express yourself however you may well please. This is a judgment-free zone. So, Mr. Miller, let's just start here. How did watching the Cowboys get their ass kicked, how did that make you feel, Mr. Miller? Let's just start there.
Alexander Goodwin, to answer that question, we have to start with some background context. This loss is the worst loss in my 26 years of being a Cowboys fan that I can remember. Considering what was at stake, considering the team, the talent, and the playoff round, this is the worst loss that I can remember. Now, we've made plenty of jokes on this show about Cowboys losses. You said it year in and year out. They will let you down. And I've been let down in some bad ways, Alex. I've been let down in some bad. One of the earlier ones I can remember is the Tony Romo field goal in Seattle. That was bad. We can all remember the Dez caught it, didn't catch it game. That was bad. We can remember the Rams not too long ago when their running back, I can't even remember the guy's name at this point anymore, ran crazy on us in LA. That was bad. These back-to-back 49ers losses in the playoffs have been bad. Aaron Rodgers in Dallas, what, 2017, 2018? That was bad. But this, my friend, this has topped all of them, because I thought I was out of surprises. I thought that I had seen it all. You and I think you can agree with me on this. It's ways that the Cowboys lose, and it can be entertaining to those that are not Cowboy fans, because it's always in just magnificent fashion. You can't make it up. Somebody makes a fantastic catch. Somebody makes a fantastic mistake for us. Mason Crosby hits the side of the crossbar and it goes in. But never can I remember getting my ass whooped like this and just flat out beat. I don't think there's anybody outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin, that could have predicted that this game was going to end up like that. Not the Packers winning, but it not even being close. Like, they got embarrassed. They just got beat. We all thought, like, okay, we'll beat the Packers. But then, you know, Cowboys fans, like, we'll say, you know, we got a chance to go to the Super Bowl. I had it all made up in my head, right? Yeah, we'll get past the Packers, right? I thought the Rams would upset the Lions. And then I thought the Rams had a chance to go toe-to-toe with a division rival in San Francisco. And I thought Tampa Bay would beat Philadelphia. So I thought that there could be a way that we would have all games in Dallas on the road to a Super Bowl. Mind you, we're coming into the playoffs, and we had won 16 straight games at home. Mind you, a 7 seed had never beat a 2 seed. Mind you, this is the most wins of a 3-year stretch for any team has ever had that has not made it at least to a championship game. I've been on this earth 26 years, Alex. My team has not made an NFC championship game in my life. And we had a fantastic podcast a couple of weeks ago with your brother on, and we got on the topic of fandom. And apart from being ridiculed and laughed at and mocked for almost 24 hours now, the consensus that I just keep getting is, well, why do you still be a fan? Why don't you just join another team?
Get to the fan transfer portal.
Alexander Goodwin, how the f*** am I supposed to do that?
What do you mean?
How can I do it? You know me. I've talked shit my whole life about these Cowboys. And my whole life, I've been wrong. So we'll get on this. We might get on this topic later. But I just can't jump down 45 and just say I'm rooting for the Texans. You know how many receipts will be pulled? I can't.
Nobody will have you.
What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to jump to? I can't do. I can't go to the 49ers. I can't root for the Steelers, the Bills. That's that.
Baltimore, Indianapolis, they got a good young quarterback, Anthony Richardson.
This is so frustrating. It is so frustrating. And everybody needs to be held accountable for this. It'd be one thing if we were speaking in hyperbole. This team can make it to the Super Bowl. This team can go to the Super Bowl. It was an honest shot. Like, the road was opening for you. Philadelphia's imploding. You wouldn't have to play San Francisco at least until the NFC Championship. You were going to guarantee 2 home games before that. And you can't even make it past the first round. They had, 3 or 4 All-Pros? Zach Martin, Bland, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb. Like, come on. That's too much talent to get. The score was 27-0 at one point in the first half. The score was 27-0. I wasn't afraid of Green Bay because I said, well, 12's not back there no more. Well, I'll be damned if Jordan Love didn't look like Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
And I think the thing for y'all, you really got to ask yourself this question is this, right? Mike McCarthy has got to be or needs to be updating his LinkedIn profile right now, because I've heard some of my other friends who are Cowboy fans say, well, we need to get rid of Dak Prescott. We need to get rid of everybody and start all over. I disagree with that. Because how much better realistically a quarterback can you get than Dak Prescott? Of course, there are better quarterbacks out there. There's a Mahomes, there's a Lamar Jackson. There are guys like that, but nobody's going to give them up, right? How much better at wide receiver are you going to get than CeeDee Lamb? How much better at edge rusher are you going to get than Micah Parsons? How much better in the secondary are you going to get than Trevon Diggs and a Deron Bland? Right? How much better can you get at those spots? You really can't, right? You have a really good win now roster. What you can change is your coach. That's what you can change. That's what you should change. Because like you said, coming into this, I had told myself, I didn't even tell you this because I'm like, you've probably already gotten this in your head already. And you've probably already got delusions of grandeur. Kennedy Miller, I'm like, Kennedy has probably already bought tickets to Vegas for the Super Bowl. But I told everybody about three and a half weeks ago, I said, Dallas has a legitimate shot to make it to the NFC title game. And given the way that this is set up, given the referee's incompetence at the end of that Detroit game that got Dallas the victory and the tiebreaker over Detroit, given the fact that Philadelphia, they look like they don't even want to play football anymore, right? Given those two things, and they're going to have 2 home games, and they're probably the best team playing at home in the league. If they don't make it to the NFC title game, Mike McCarthy should get fired. And not only did they not make it to the NFC title game, they didn't make it to the past MLK weekend. Like, there got to be a moving truck outside this man's house. And you cannot tell me Jerry Jones cannot ever say that he's committed to winning if he lets Mike McCarthy back in the dough. He has to go. Like, there is no other option than this? Because how in of the four playoff games they've played in the Mike McCarthy era, how in three of them have they come out wholly unprepared, basically? What we saw last night, that is poor coaching.
Absolutely poor coaching.
Poor preparation. Like, and I don't know what happened with Dak Prescott and CD Lamb. Did CD Lamb take his girl or something? Because they looked off too.
Alex, it's a coaching and it's a quarterback problem. You're spot on with the first point. Mike McCarthy's got to go. Let Dan Quinn take whatever job is offered to him and get him the hell out of here too. You got franchise centerpieces, right? You'd be foolish, right, to be shopping Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs. Like, you drafted those guys in the first, second round, and they've done nothing more than to live up to what they have, you know, what level they were drafted at. Dan Quinn, how many times is Kyle Shanahan and his disciples gonna whoop your ass, man? Like, it wasn't even close. Dudes were wide open. Same thing with the San Francisco game. It's not like Marshawn Lynch breaking out against the Saints and breaking 3-4 tackles. They're just scheming guys wide open in the middle of the field. And we've got no answer. We got the number. We generate, what, top five pressures in the league. We didn't sack Jordan Love one time. It was not one time in that game where I said, man, he looks really uncomfortable. With the names out there, and I'm not really talking about just like the big fishes, but you got coaching talent out there. Like, if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm firing Mike McCarthy. I'm at least trying to talk to Jim Harbaugh. Can we bring in Jim, Bill? But knowing Jerry Jones, if you were to fire Mike McCarthy, it would be next week when everybody's got their jobs already. And then we got to set up for some B-plus coach. I don't get it, man. Every other team, this is the last point that I'll make, because I see Buffalo is dog walking Pittsburgh right now. Every other team that had home field advantage this week, Houston took care of business. Detroit took care of business. Buffalo is taking care of business. Kansas City took care of business. The Dallas Cowboys did not.
Here's what I'll tell you. The problem during the Jason Garrett era was that the Cowboys had a lot of front end talent, but the Cowboys, they couldn't consistently beat the team that they were supposed to beat, right? They couldn't do that. I think Mike McCarthy has gotten them to a point where they can do that. But the problem is, you know, if you're a team, you know you're good if you beat the Dallas Cowboys. But you know you're a bad team if the Dallas Cowboys beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, the other issue I have with this team is the way the roster is constructed. This roster was built in a way where they can only win one way. And in the 4 years Mike McCarthy has been the coach, this has been the biggest problem for me. This team is built to play with a lead. This team is built to play when they have a 14-0 lead, a 17-3 lead, a 24-3 lead. So at that point, they can just turn the pass rushers loose. If the game is close or if Dallas is behind, it's a wrap. Think about that Buffalo game from this year. Like, the moment Buffalo got up 21, I was like, well, we might as well turn this off and go do something else. Or that San Francisco game, when a San Francisco playoff game from 2 years ago. That's an issue of roster construction. And another thing Mike McCarthy is going to have to answer for, why did he say he fired Kellen Moore, Mr. Miller?
Because he wanted to run the ball.
What if I told you they ran the ball less this year? They gave Tony Pollard the keys, and Tony Pollard was really a change of pace back. Do you remember Michael Turner?
You don't change no pace no more. Like, last year was kind of like a thunder lightning with Zeke and Tony. And you could see, like, Tony, like, okay, this guy is taking the reins, right? But I'm going to say it was the injury in the playoff game against San Francisco. He has not had that same burst since then. Not all year.
I think he's one of those guys, and we're going to make a music sidebar for a second. Kennedy, you ever listen to, you know, we big R&B fans. You ever listen to an R&B group, and a group might have a singer that has like a really, really powerful voice, right? You're like, man, that dude could sing the paint off the wall. Man, I wonder what a solo album would sound like of that dude. And it's like, nah, less is more.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it's like with Tony Pollard. It's like Tony Pollard in spurts and in touches is good. Tony Pollard all the time, Tony Pollard being a 20-25 carry guy, that's not going to work. And it clearly didn't work because behind him, who they have, Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn.
They ain't
about to tote no rock. Okay. So at that point, you're again at the same spot where they have been in the last 2 years, where the last 2 years, the season fell apart once the Cowboys are not able to run the football. That's when the season, and offensively, things started to get stagnant. Things got tight. Once they weren't able to run the ball as much and the threat of the play action wasn't there anymore, that's when everything kind of went to hell. This year, they've struggled running the ball really all year. And so, again, they ended up back in the same spot where they have been, where it's all on Dak Prescott. And by when I say it's all on Dak Prescott, it's really all on CD Lamb. Because if CD Lamb is not playing well, it's a wrap. And that's really what yesterday was. There was nowhere for him to throw the ball. I look at CD Lamb one, he looks at Jake Ferguson number two, right? If it ain't there, if they ain't open, they up Schitt's Creek. And that's what happened again. So again, just the entire way the roster was constructed and just the way the entire season played out. But all in all, this wasn't the best Dallas Cowboys team that they've had in the past 10 or 15 years. They have been better teams. I think the 2014 team was better. I think the 2016 team was better. I think the team they had in 2021 is probably the most, like, just in terms of pure talent, the best team Dallas has had in 30 years. But this team had the best overall situation going into the playoffs, like the best set of circumstances. Probably going to have two home games. The Eagles had just come apart. And if they were to get into a one-game situation on the road against San Francisco, hey, who knows what happens in a one-gamer? But they ain't got to worry about that now because they clean it out. They lock. You mentioned your man Dak Prescott, Ken. How are you feeling about him? A few weeks ago, you seemed to be cautiously optimistic about Dak Prescott. Where are you now?
I'm done with him. So, like, you bring up the point of what, like, you're not going to get better out of him, right? And, like, I also said, like, pretty much everybody that they've drafted, that they've had good drafts, like, they got their value. Micah Parsons is a first-round pick. Like, he's a first-round pick based on the talent. Trayvon Diggs has exceeded being a second-round pick. Dak Prescott, while exceeding it, was a fourth-round pick for a reason. Right, he's in the upper echelon of quarterbacks, right? But it ain't that many great quarterbacks in the league. Like, we just told him, like, Lamar, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, maybe if he comes back. But
are you putting Coleridge?
And C.J. Stroud is better than him. So, like, my thing is, like, you traded for a guy, and this is what I'm thinking now. Like, you traded for a guy and Trey Lance. You don't really have a big sample size, but I know that his potential could be higher. I know the best Dak Prescott that I've seen. I think Trey Lance has a higher upside than what we've seen out of Dak Prescott.
But you're willing to put Trey Lance on the field next year knowing he hasn't gotten significant reps. And he's going into year four, coming into a win-now roster and possibly a new coach. He ain't got no time to learn on the job. He has no time to learn. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, I don't think it's a good situation for him either.
We ain't got no time for Dak Prescott to keep learning either.
Like, he's done. He's done. Look, like, he is at, how old is he? He's 30? He got to start 31 now.
He's 30, 8 years in.
Yeah, like, next year is going to be year number 9. Like, this is who he is, right?
And you've detailed three of the best teams that we've had in the last 30 years has been with him at the helm, and we ain't got it done.
That's fair. I'm just more so looking at it from a standpoint of what you probably could change, what probably would be more beneficial to change, and what is more reasonable to change is the coaching staff, right? That is more reasonable of a thing that you can change realistically, right? But if Trey Lance is the option, like, but that's my big thing, though. And go to who, right? Trey Lance. That ain't a good option.
I might be emotional and just, like, talking from the cuff, but I do know for sure that I want Mike McCarthy gone. Now, you provide some, you know, insight. Like, yeah, he probably would be better, especially with a more offensive coach for this time, right? Or a coach like a Jim Harbaugh or like a Belichick. I think Dak Prescott would be better. I've said it on here multiple times. If Dak Prescott was in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, I think they'd be doing the same thing. Like, I think Brock Purdy's got some talent, but, like, you can't tell me that Kyle Shanahan can't scheme up stuff for Dak Prescott or Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean? Like, those guys could play with him. I was going to take a month off for the first month of the year. No alcohol. I lasted 13 days because I stopped on the second, and I started yesterday. By the time it was 27-0, I was already on my second cup.
Second cup of what? Was it Jack?
Crown.
Oh, we talking like the straight Crown? Did you mix it?
Straight.
Ooh.
Neat, not even with ice.
This is what the Dallas Cowboys have been doing, have done to you. And so you mentioned, Ken, where would you go? Like you, you think no one would take you in the fan transfer portal?
I just can't, because, you know, like, I watched the Lions, and that guy was, like, emotional, you know, because it had just been so long. And I was just thinking, like, it is only one team that wins. Like, it's one team that wins every year. Like, it's only one. And if you really think about it, like, only a certain amount of teams have just been spoiled. Like, yeah. Steelers, Niners, Cowboys, pre my life, Packers, you know, in a sense. But everybody else has their ebbs and flows. And so, like, who am I to just be like, I'm not going with the Cowboys anymore. I'm going to just jump to the Jacksonville Jaguars and then go through their hell. Like, damn it. I've been through some bad stuff. I just feel like at some point it's got to be turning around pretty quick, right? Like, it's got to be turning pretty quickly, right? Like, I don't want to have to be when I'm a grandfather and I'm in tears because the Cowboys in the first Super Bowl of my life. Like, this can't be what just goes on for the rest of my life. Something got to change.
You don't want to go somewhere else and deal with their hell, right? But think about it, relationships, right? You get out of one relationship because it's hell. You go to somewhere else hoping it'll be better, hoping things will change, different person, different situation, and it's hell there. What do we then? We break up, don't we? We break up with people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, remember when Cat Williams in Pimpin', when he said, didn't the United States just get out of a messed up relationship with a president? Maybe we should be single as a country for a while. Maybe date a president. Maybe you should try something similar.
I should just go around, start courting teams, just rock with them for a game or two.
Go
see how they do things.
Like NFL speed dating. I think, like, you should try.
I got Arizona this weekend. Let's see how they treat me.
Yeah, I got Arizona at 3 o'clock on Sunday. Yeah, I mean, I think you should try it. I mean, as somebody, Kennedy Miller, who left a team for 3 years, I left, and everybody knows what I'm talking about. I left the Houston Texans for 3 years. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. But Mr. Miller, I have an announcement to make here on this show.
What's the announcement?
Mr. Kennedy Miller, I have allowed the Houston Texans to move back in. I have let the Houston Texans move on back in. Look, I filed for the divorce. They had to get out. The kids stayed with me, you know, but we were separated for real, for real. I saw other people. I did a few other things, right? But I never signed the papers, right? Then they got right. You know, you got to, earlier in the season, we were talking about Alex. You said, Alex, it sounds like you're going back to church with the Texans. And I'm like, I think I am. But you don't want to get nobody's hopes up. Like you said, this is like a Tyler Perry movie, Diary of a Mad Black One, when Deborah just busts through the front of the church singing and Brian brought on home.
you taking them back?
But come on back, man. You know, and nobody really ever better question me about this either. Talking about if I wasn't down during the David Culley or the Lovie Smith years, then stay gone. Unless you ever heard the names Jabbar Gaffney, unless you ever heard the names David Carr and Dom Capers and Ben Tate and Steve Slayton, Gary Kubiak, anyone. If you weren't there in 06 when they drafted Mario Williams, when I think they should have drafted Vince Young, don't say nothing to me. I done been here for all the foolishness, and I done been here for a lot. I done been drug out of this house. I done had other people coming to me. What did somebody say? I got other women calling my phone about you, looking for you. Some other woman coming to me as a woman because you up here in the streets, right? I done gone through that with the Texans. I done gone through it. But you know what? The 3 years away, they were good because I focused on myself. I got my relationship back right.
You had some self-improvement?
Yes, yes. So, Ken, maybe you should try something similar. Just A.O. did it. A.O. said he done.
Everybody says that, but they just pull you right back in when the season starts. Like,
they buy you some flowers.
my old boss in New Mexico, biggest Purdue fan I've ever met. Like, just lives, breathes, and dies Purdue basketball. And you can't tell him that there's no other fandom that has reached the lows of Purdue. Like, as far as like with the expectations that they've had and to not succeed. So, you know, like last year he's just like screamed because Purdue's like number one kind of like all year. So he screamed Purdue. We're Texas guys. Like, so I'm rocking with the Longhorns in basketball. So Texas is playing like Colgate in the first round. And Purdue is playing Farley Dickinson. So Texas is playing Colgate, and he comes in, and he's got a paper on Colgate, all these statistics about Colgate, how they lead the nation in three-point percentage, all this stuff. Well, as we know, Purdue is one of the only teams to lose in the first round of being a one seed to the 16 seed. and Farley Dickinson. And he was just like, I'm done. I'm done with Purdue basketball. And they never made it to a Final Four. He's like, I'm done with Purdue basketball. I can't do it. Yada, yada, yada. Fast forward. I moved to Houston. I moved back home. He texts me on Christmas. I know you see Purdue as number one. I said, I thought you were done with Purdue. What happened? I thought you didn't care about the regular season anymore. He said, it's something about being a fan. I just come back around every year. And that's how I feel about the Cowboys. They're gonna do something this offseason, Alex, that's gonna give me some type of motivation. That's what they do. That's what they know to do. Like, they're not just gonna bring back the entire team and the entire coaching staff. They gotta give you something to make you bite on that fishing rod to get you reeled right back in.
In other news, two legendary coaches, don't have their jobs anymore. One voluntarily, one involuntarily. I'm talking about Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. So, Ken, we're going to start with Nick Saban. Were you shocked that he chose now to call it quits? Or did you just feel like, did you see this coming the entire season?
I definitely didn't see it coming. But, you know, when it happened, I wasn't shocked by it. Like, when the news came for Pete Carroll, I was shocked. Like, I didn't expect Pete Carroll to be stepping down anytime soon. And I didn't think that Seattle would be making any changes. But, you know, I can see Nick Saban taking this time to step away and to retire. The NIL transfer portal, you know, he's won in three different versions. Like, he won in the BCS, he won in the college football playoff, and like he still had success, but it's a little different ball game than how it was before. And so the man is in his 70s. He's won what, 7 national championships, 6 at Alabama. So he's done more than almost anybody has ever done in the sport. So I don't blame him at all for calling it quits.
I think one thing that I noticed this year that he had never really done before, it felt like at certain points in the year, like you were seeing a different side of Nick Saban. He seemed a whole lot more playful, a whole lot more reflective than you had ever seen him be, right? Like, there was one moment that really stuck out to me early in the season after Texas beat them. And, you know, he does his coaches call-in show where the fans call in and talk to him. Mm-hmm. And he cool-handled this dude named Pee-wee. He said, Pee-wee, we can't protect the quarterback to getting there with a four-man rush. We're not setting the right way we need to. So what do you think we should do, Pee-wee? We have been waiting to talk to you all week. I've never seen him do this before, right? Mm-hmm. They can win by 30 points, and he's wound tight about something that happened in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game. So, like, you'd never see him do that in a blowout, let alone after they got their butts kicked, right? And for me, it felt like one of those things. Your dad's a grandparent. Are there ways you've seen your father deal with his grandchildren that he never would have handled you?
Absolutely.
Like, you see your nieces and nephews do certain things, you're like, ooh, he about to get on them. Ooh, he about to whoop their ass. And he's like, look here, you need to behave a little bit better. Go sit in time out. I'm like, time out? What the time out? It's time to get an ass whooping. Time to go get the belt.
Right.
What is this? I'm like, man, you done got soft, right? My dad looked at me when I asked him, when I told him that. He's like, hey, man, I'm getting old. Too old for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it seems like that's kind of where he was. And I do think at a certain point, it is better to leave 2 or 3 years early while you still are near the top of your game, or, you know, still are who you've always been, than to leave 2 or 3 years too late. And at a place like Alabama, leaving 2 or 3 years too late, that would be having a 2-3 loss regular seasons in a row. That's what that would look like at a place like this. Because his grip on the sport is slipping just a little. Mm-hmm. Georgia's won 2 of the last 3 national championships. Alabama's maybe slipped from maybe the best team in college football to the second best team in college football, right? And he said, one of his big things that he said was, he said, as I'm getting older, I can't give as much as I used to be able to give. It takes more out of me now. I can't just recover. I can't, like, be in the office till 2, come home, you know, wake up at 6:30 and be back at it all day and be full of energy. I can't do that anymore. And let's just be honest about it. Of our geriatric friends and the folks that we know that are over 70, why spend the last 10, 12 years of your life stressed out? Right. Like, we can apply that to, like, the people who are running for president. You should spend the last years of your life spending time with your grandchildren, your children, your family, the people that love you. Mm-hmm. Not being up till Lord knows when trying to diagnose, should we run cover two or cover three in this situation, right? So at a certain point, I do think it takes a certain amount of courage to look up and be like, you know what? I can't do this no more. Or I don't have it in me to give this 110, 115%. Because 110, 115% takes a lot, takes more out of me now. And I'm getting a whole lot older. So like, Ken, as a coach, I got to ask you, like, what does that time commitment look like for coaches? Like, in season?
5 a.m. days. Especially, I mean, like, running a program like Alabama, and then you'd have to understand that, or you'd have to think that it's not going to be run like an average program, which, you know, they always have those things, like, so you think you're a college athlete, and they post the 6 a.m. all the way to the 8 p.m. things that you have to do. It's the same thing for coaches. Like, it's a grind, but, like, you got to love it. Like, you got to love what you do, and with the success that they've had, they probably go above and beyond. So it's way more now. He probably has a lot of assistants and, you know, his coordinators that he can delegate responsibilities to. But if I know Nick Saban the way I think I know Nick Saban, it's still hands-on and it's still there most of the time. And so that's just the football side of it. But like, you talk about the radio station, like, the media side of it is a different thing too, especially at Power Five schools and at Alabama. He's got to do radio shows. He's got to be on TV, got to do interviews, got to do all that. So it is a 7 day a week, 24 hour grind.
Yeah, man. So for me, what was more interesting is once he announced he was going to retire, then my thought went to, well, who on earth would be crazy enough to take this job and follow the GOAT? Like, it is kind of like being in that situation where, kind of like Jordan Love is in the situation following up Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. It's like, you don't want to be the dude after the dudes, right? Because all we're going to do is compare you to them. If you've got an older brother or older sister at a school and they were like a great athlete or a great, you know, International Honor Society doing all the other stuff, well, why don't you do this the way your brother, your sister did it? Well, you're not like them. You should be more like them. I really enjoyed them. You're constantly being compared, right? That's one thing if you're underperforming. But the problem is that Alabama underperforming is losing two regular season games. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking, who would be willing to take this job? And it ended up going to Kalen DeBoer, but he was like their fourth or fifth choice. Because I know they made the call to Dan Lanning at Oregon, and he was the guy who I was thinking, if anyone, he would fit the profile the most. Mm-hmm. He has a better job at Oregon. You know what I'm saying? Because I think Alabama is the best and worst job in America. It's one of the best jobs. You have a great fan base, all the resources in the world, the people there care, they want to win, but that also is what makes it the worst job in the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Dan Lanning can stay at Oregon and is staying at Oregon. He can stay there for 20, 25 years because the last, what, three or four coaches that have been at Oregon, only one of them has gotten fired. Mm-hmm. Mike Bellotti coached there 15 years. He only won 10 games four times and went to one New Year's Six games. Chip Kelly won the Pac-12, played in a national championship, parlayed that into an NFL job with the Eagles. Mario Cristobal and Willie Taggart both parlayed those into other Power Five jobs. That's not a place that's really going to fire you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can stay there and be the man. Sarkisian at Texas. You've built your own monster now. You're starting to build your own situation the way you just getting into where you want it to be. You have a better job because I don't think people at Texas are expecting a national championship year in and year out. At the best the program ever was under Mack Brown, Texas only went to one national championship and played for another. The rest of those, we're cool with Fiesta Bowls, Cotton Bowls, Sugar Bowls. We cool with that, right? But for Kalen DeBoer, what is this going to look like? Are you going to be able to cool handle Pee Wee when he calls in asking why they don't run the ball more? Or why we ain't recruiting this guy, or that guy? Are you gonna be able to handle that? You know what I mean? Like, that's a hard job, man.
Yeah, it kind of fits. Like, I'm glad they kind of went in the direction that they did. A coach that was kind of like trending upward to kind of give him that shot. Okay, here's your true test. Because what I think he was at Indiana, right? Did well at Indiana.
OC there, yeah.
And then got the Washington job. Really good at Washington, but like he's progressively moved upwards. And it's almost like somebody had posted it on Twitter. It's almost like when you used to do the Road to Glory or the Dynasty on NCAA and you were the coach. Man, I started off as an OC at Rice. I started off as an OC at Rice and like parlayed it into a Louisville job. And then I parlayed it into like, I think I was the coach at like LSU after that. You know, that's kind of like what you want as a coach, like keep going up. And now you got this big job where you have all the resources and all the exposure. Can you win it that way? Rather than them getting a coach like that's kind of been recycled around. Because honestly, like Kalen DeBoer is somebody who you could see if he has success, he could be there for like 10 years, right? Whereas another coach, maybe like Jimbo Fisher, even though he's got a national championship, like if they had went and hired Jimbo Fisher, you know what I mean? Like it wouldn't be this hesitancy, like, well, let's see what he can do. It's like, oh, Jimbo, like, oh, we should still be winning. Like you got to go ahead and win us one too, because you got a national championship already and you should be able to do it already.
You know who I'm glad, because I saw it only mentioned one time. And one of the homies happened to mention to me too, in like a really joking fashion. You know who they said? You know what would be funny if this person got the job?
Who?
Deion Sanders.
Oh yeah. No.
Nah. Look, I'm gonna say this for the sake of race relations in this country. We don't need. Before they announced DeBoer got the job, I said I hope they don't hire nobody black. 9 out of 10 times, I'm like, let's give our black and Hispanic brothers and sisters a chance at any job we can, right? Let us give the same opportunity to fail as these white folks do. In this situation, no.
Yeah.
Because it would be like one of them. Look, let them lose to Mississippi State or Ole Miss. And we going to be talking about one of them race riots like we read about in them history books.
It's going to be a whole lot of slippers.
Yeah, going to be a whole lot of naysayers. Naysayers. Going to be everybody going to be a naysayer. Deion, Shadur, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. So for the sake of race relations, I am glad that didn't happen. Because you talk about something that would tear America apart.
And it's already going to happen up north with Gerard Mayo and the Patriots.
In racist Boston?
Man, let them lose to the Jets. Oh man.
I hope you get hit by a car, Mayo. I hope you get hit by a car. That's all we'd hear. Okay. And speaking of them, right, fast before we get up out of here, man, I told you a couple weeks ago, man, Bill Belichick up out of there. I told you a couple weeks ago, Bill Belichick about to be coach emeritus.
You did say that.
I mean, to me, I think the craziest thing is people saying, well, he ain't won none without Tom Brady. Da 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 da. Who you expect to win with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi? And what was left of Cam Newton at the time? Now, I would like to point out they made the playoffs in Mac Jones's first year, not because of Mac Jones, but they had a great defense, strong running game, everything you need typically for a rookie quarterback to be successful. But after that, Bill Belichick went and ruined Mac Jones. He hired Matt Patricia and Joe Judge to be the quarterback's coach and the OC. And I'm sorry, at any time you hire Matt Patricia to fix things, the last three times someone has done that, things have gotten worse and Matt Patricia has gotten fired. With the Lions, when they decided Jim Caldwell winning 9 games a year wasn't good enough, they went and hired Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia bottomed it out. I will say this, had Matt Patricia not bottomed it out, we wouldn't have a big homie Dan Campbell. So, okay, right? He goes to the Patriots. He ruins Mac Jones. Now he's over there with the Eagles. They put him in charge of the defense, and the defense went from looking not good to looking outright horrendous. And I better stop talking too loud about the Eagles, because if the Eagles lose tonight, I'm going to be sleeping on the couch. But yes, the point still stands. Belichick is a part of the reason why I think Mac Jones not only has not developed, but the fact that Mac Jones regressed. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And he might be done for, because like you and I both know, like, confidence is the biggest thing for a quarterback. And like once a quarterback loses confidence, unless somebody really takes the time to really work on them, it's tough for them to ever get it back. And with them having what, the third pick, second or third,
they got a pick that's up there.
I mean, it's probably like everybody's talking about the Drake May, you know, going after Caleb. So it might be it for Mac Jones.
That it may be for Kennedy. It should be it for Mike McCarthy. He should be out of time. Is that
right? Get him out of there. I wanted to do this show in the afternoon because I wanted SportsCenter to go off and to go live and say Jerry Jones has informed Mike McCarthy that he will no longer be the head coach of this team. I wanted it to happen while we were on air, and it hasn't happened.
I'm not sure it will, but I will tell you this. One more joke. Jerry Jones ain't been this upset since they had to desegregate the schools. Last time Jerry Jones was this upset was when he voted the under on the 3/5 compromise.
No, I know they would. I know it was a whole lot of slurs going up in there yesterday in that suite.
I can't believe that naysayer threw another interception.
Yeah.
Look, they were all kinds of spear chuckers and pickaninnies, Lord knows what else.
Spooks, Porch Monkeys.
Hey, just watching the Boondocks and just writing them all down. And Jerry's like, I haven't said these words since we stopped them folks at the schoolhouse door. But we are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, my guy, thank you for hanging out once again. I know today was a tough day for you, but where can the folks, do you want the folks to find you on Twitter?
No, they don't need to find me on Twitter. If you want to find me, it's my name. Damn it. It's Kennedy Miller. It'll come up.
You can find me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Texans, S as in Stroud, like their quarterback, Coleridge Stroud IV, M as in Mike McCarthy, who should be getting some M moving boxes. Also, follow the show on Instagram at underscore the Game Plan Podcast. Again, follow the show on Instagram at underscore the Game Plan Podcast. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast. We will catch you guys next time. Y'all take it light.